So, this is episode 44 of the Full Moon Show, and we are... We've got a little bit of a different lineup for you today. It's actually pretty entertaining. My name is James Stevenson, Community Manager at Insomniac Games. Sitting to my left at the table is Brian Intihar, Community Manager at Insomniac Games.
For one more day.
We'll get back to that in a minute.
Yep. How you doing, everybody?
Across the table is Mr. Paul Featherstone, who you may know from all of his handy video work on the video podcast this year, editing, producing, creating, all that good stuff, and
directing.
Lots of video content. Directing.
Yeah, basically putting together all our video content.
Yeah, I am fucked.
Watch your mic on your shirt there, Antonio.
Sorry.
You're rubbing it up against your shirt.
Sorry.
So, Paul, welcome
hello.
To the show.
Thank you for having me.
And
his mic is right in front of his eye, and it's really distracting.
That's awesome.
And I was going to go with the casual thank you for having me line. He took my material.
And the voice you just heard is Mr. TJ Fixman.
Thank you for having me.
Now senior writer at Insomniac Games.
Good to be here.
And just like our games, he steals all of his material from me.
Yeah.
Yes. And now Paul's got it directly in front of his mouth, and... Yeah, this is just...
It's going to be a constant struggle. I'm going to be moving this
right there
day.
Was good.
It's annoying. Okay.
And they're going to hear your voice change the entire episode. So
okay.
This is the group of four. Brian Allgaier is not with us because he is on vacation in Georgia. So TJ will do his best Brian Allgaier impression today. And Ryan is not here because we have four microphones. And
well, let's be honest. We didn't want him anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't add that much.
Man,
so,
let's be honest.
There's a height requirement today.
Oh!
Must be this tall to ride. And we are in our brand new Lawrence conference room, which we keep recording in our new conference rooms just to check out the acoustics.
I like it in here a lot better because the other one, when we were back in Hale, it was like Arctic. You'd see icicles forming on the ceiling while we were having the podcasts.
People almost died. I think we had to transport a mystery guest to the hospital for hypothermia.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I grabbed my sweatshirt, I got my hot tea, and now I'm kind of regretting both.
Bummer. Ice water right here. So we've got a fun show for you today. We'll talk a little bit about kind of what's been going on with Ratchet, which pretty much is we finished it, and what you can expect to see in the next few weeks and month, really, until it launches. We'll kind of talk about what the future of the show will be and what's going on with a few of the people in this room. And we'll ask TJ some questions about what he's been up to and get your questions in and go from there. So that kind of is the roadmap for this afternoon. And I guess I should also say happy PSP Go Day to everyone because this is coming out on October 1st, which is the launch of the brand new PlayStation Portable.
Go. Oh, nice.
Paul, did you
Woot.
Order yours yet?
I am on the fence. The white one is so pretty. But I haven't been able to pull the trigger yet.
I've had it in my Amazon cart for like 2 days now.
Yeah.
Is the white one coming out in America?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Am I the only one still hooked up to his Atari Lynx?
That's an awesome system.
I still have
California
that.
Games.
I still use
California
it.
Games.
I like bringing my Nomad on international flights, I also have to bring about two dozen batteries to go with it because after about an hour of playing, I have to swap the batteries out. It's awesome.
You tell me I have to put my Atari Lynx in a laptop case. The thing's huge.
Yeah, it is.
So it's been fun times here around Insomniac the past week and a half because we're pretty much finished with the game. And right now it's just fixing bugs for various languages outside of the United States and localization issues, which...
Also putting some finishing touches on the demo.
Ah, yes. There are going to be what looks like two downloadable demos.
Demos?
Yes,
plural?
Because there will be a... Because, well, originally there was going to be one that would have a Ratchet level and a Clank level, but it really got kind of too big for people to download easily with both of those sets of assets. So it sounds like we will have two different demos. One will be the Ratchet demo, the other will be the Clank demo.
So people shouldn't be confused. It's one game, but there's two demos.
Yes.
Because, you know, just to clarify that, there's
yes.
not a Ratchet game, there's not a Clank game. They're the same thing.
Yes, so that'll be fun, and... If you've played the demo out in the stores, that you can go to your GameStop or Walmart. There's a Krell Canyon demo. But that demo is a bit older, whereas the one that will be on the PlayStation Store will be new and have more weapons and things to play with. So if you're an Uber fan and you really want to check out all the new stuff, it will be worth downloading both of these demos, and it'll definitely be your first chance to play Clank.
Do we have a time frame for that yet?
No, because we're still working on it.
Okay. So because just a lot of people have been asking about it.
Yeah, it'll be before release, a week or two, somewhere in there, but I don't know exact date. You know, we got to get it submitted through PSN and all that good stuff.
Gotcha.
What have you been up to, TJ?
Me? Nothing. I'm just relaxing after a really hectic production schedule. There's not much left I can really do for Ratchet and Clank. Obviously, the cinematics are created, the effects have been dropped in, it's all nice and shiny, and when the characters open their mouths, words come out, so that's always a plus. And I don't know, now we're just kind of sitting back, like I played through the game a couple times, and it's looking and sounding great, and now I'm already on to the next projects, plural.
So, TJ, I mean, obviously you're super, super busy in the beginning of the project, getting everything up to speed, working with Brian on the story. But, like, what's the last month and a half like as a writer on a game? Like, what are some of your responsibilities that you handle?
Yeah, the last month and a half, of course, because we can't create new content. It's all about kind of playing the game and listening for the lines and listening for, like, you know, what's playing too much, what's not playing the right way. Of course, we record multiple versions of every line. So, you know, typically what I'll do is I'll play through, like, you know, Krell Canyon, and I'll listen to all the lines that Asmund says, all the lines that Ratchet says. And, you know, we'll listen for, like, deliveries that were just not quite up to where we want them to be. And then we'll go to the audio guys and say, hey, what are the other takes? And we'll swap those out. Or we'll have what's called an emergent dialogue pass, where the emergent dialogue is basically all the battle dialogue that you hear. So when the Agorians react to a grenade that you throw, or the Volards say anything, that's emergent. And we sometimes, with the programming, it's set up in such a way that you'll hear the same line too often. So I'll go in and say, okay, well, this line's playing too much, or whatnot. Let's cut this line. Let's move this line. Oh, I'm not hearing this line at all. So basically, it's just about auditing everything and making sure that the game sounds fantastic.
That's a lot of work.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of game to cover.
Jeez. It's worth it though. It is hilarious.
Oh, thanks, man.
The timing on some of those lines just kills me. And even though I've heard them like 10 times as I've played through these same levels, it just brings a smile on my face every time.
Well, that's cool, every man. Time. It's great. I'm glad to hear that. I know, like, at this point, everyone's heard everything so many times. Like, I know that there's some people around the office that are just like, I mean, they're probably going to kill themselves over the amount of times they've heard Quark say you win again technology. But yeah. I still think it brings enough of a smile to people's faces that I'm almost positive that line will follow me to my grave.
Yeah, sitting next to the guys working on the cinematics, Grant Hollis especially. Right. Yep. I hear you winning in technology about 44 times a day.
Yep.
But somehow it doesn't get old. Those Quark lines, they're going to live forever, man.
Quark's a lot of fun. Quark's a ton of fun. And Jim Ward, like, I mean, the guy that plays Quark, he just put his heart and soul into his character this time, because you know, he knows that fans love Quark. And we really made a conscious effort this game, I think, to put more Quark into it than ever before. So those of you out there that are big fans of Captain Quark, you're gonna get your money's worth. Let's say that.
I swear to God, this is the craziest thing. I have been hearing a Mini Cooper dealership commercial where I swear to God, Jim Ward is the guy doing the commercial. And like, there's a couple moments where he kind of has like some sarcastic things that he says, and it's like half Captain Quark in it.
Jim does like a lot of work. Like, so yeah.
I'm like, is that Captain Quark selling Mini Coopers over the radio?
It could be. I mean, he definitely does a lot of work around town, and he just won an Emmy, so we're very proud of him. He did a supporting role on, or as a guest spot on some show, but I forget which, but he is now Emmy Award-winning Jim Ward, so wow. Now we can all expect his rates to go up.
Yay!
But no, he's a great guy, and he's got like the most amazing comedic timing of anybody that we work with. Because like, I'll give him a line that I have in my head a certain way, and he'll sell it a completely different way that's like three times as funny. And he's like, "Well, I could do it your way if you want." I'm like, no, that's good. You're making me look good. Stay and keep doing it the way you're doing it. He's just so talented.
So you're saying it's the voice actors that make you look good?
Actually, yeah. Otherwise, it's just ink on paper, man. It's the actors that like that actually make it work and make it funny.
You know? I was just giving you shit. You're right.
That's all right, man. Thanks, buddy.
It's good. I think when people actually get the chance to play it, they will see just how funny this game is.
That's good, man. I'm proud of it.
Was it different for you writing now? You know, I mean, like, now that you've had, I mean, this isn't your first time out on Ratchet. So did that help, like, kind of already getting into the mindset of Ratchet over the last couple of games and having this one, you know, from scratch be yours? And
it definitely did. I mean, the tools instruction I came on halfway through. So, you know, the macro, what we call the macro, is already in place. The order of the levels and the sets were already done and the characters were already modeled. We just didn't have a story. So that game, to me, like, while I'm very proud of the story that we put together, was really all about just kind of making it work and making it ratchety. You know, and Quest for Booty, I'd become a little bit more seasoned and grew into the characters a little bit more. A Crack in Time was my first, you know, here, TJ, take the whole game. You know, started from scratch, all the characters, all the sets and everything are yours to play with. And with that, I'd finally, like, learned enough in the previous games where I was able to just kind of barrel forward and do the whole thing myself. And it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a huge challenge. But at the end of the day, I think that, like, that I was comfortable enough in all the characters where I could just, like, kind of crack out the whole thing.
What's your favorite scene in the game?
My favorite scene in the game? Oh, wow, that's a tough one. God, my favorite scene in the game, it would probably have to be, I don't want to do a little spoiler now.
Oh, is it a spoiler scene?
Yeah, it is a spoiler scene. Maybe I'll do my
second. How can I be cryptic?
How can I be cryptic? I'll say that the end scene is probably my favorite scene. I know that sounds like a cop-out because now everyone's going to say, oh, well, obviously I have to play the whole game to find out. But the end scene really pays off the entire story in a way that I don't think we ever have before. And of course, like when we set out to do a saga, we knew that we could never pay off everything to the limit that we wanted to. And this is finally like our chance to say, no, we had a plan. This is what we wanted to do. This is what we wanted to say. And I think it just came out beautifully. The animators really, really put in some work to all the scenes, but especially the final scene. And I think that it's a really fitting ending to the future saga.
Good times.
Good times.
I'm going to add that I think some of your best stuff actually came in like really late in the game. We haven't talked about this yet, but there's some stuff I think that we're going to be talking about in a couple of weeks, showing some new stuff from the game. I guess all I'll say is my favorite line in this segment that you added in is, consider yourself saved.
Oh, that's right.
That's a little...
Have we talked about that?
Consider yourself alive, yeah.
Oh, yeah, consider yourself alive. Man, this is just... I'll be editing it out because I'm messing up the entire thing.
Have we talked about that yet or not?
I don't know.
The plan is we're going to add that. We're going to do a video about that in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's super secret. So I'll be cryptic in my response and say that was a lot of fun for me as well because that was not on the original schedule. But when people kind of took off with the idea, they basically wanted to do a little bit of extra Quark loving. And it wasn't in the schedule. We really didn't have time to write it. But I fell in love with the idea so much that I cracked out a whole bunch of lines for this new segment. And I'm also happy like with Wade. I think it works great.
Yes, I know what you're talking about now. I was a little confused there for a minute. But
you with us now?
I'm out of it. So
drink your coffee.
It's water.
That's your problem.
Yeah, there right you there. Go. What else was I going to ask you guys about? Oh, well, and people just saw the Nefarious trailer this week, so they got to see a lot of your handiwork with Dr. Nefarious.
Yep.
And I think people were pretty excited for that trailer. It's kind of like one of the last big ones before we get to the end here in the next few weeks and the game actually comes out.
Yeah, the Nefarious trailer was a lot of fun. Just writing for Nefarious was a ton of fun. And actually, this morning I got an email from Armin Shimmerman, who plays Nefarious, and he saw the trailer online and he responded and he had the greatest things to say. And he said that the cinematics came out wonderfully and he was very happy with the trailer and how it was going right on his reel. And he says everyone here did a fantastic job. And meanwhile, I'm like, wow, dude, like you did a fantastic job. Like, this guy really shredded his voice for Dr. Nefarious. He really loves the character. He would always ask a lot of questions, and when a lot of actors don't do that, he'd be like, okay, why am I doing this? What's Nefarious' motivation? Everything. So he was a lot of fun to work with, and the trailer definitely has some really choice Dr. Nefarious moments. He was so much fun to write for.
Maybe for some people that don't know who Armin Shimmerman is, he's done a lot of other famous work. He was Quark in Deep Space Nine.
The Deep Space Nine Quark, yeah.
And he was also
the principal in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Principal, who turned into the giant snake and killed everybody in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Which he apparently requested.
Oh.
Like he asked for that, yep.
And he was in Bioshock. He was Andrew Ryan in BioShock.
Yeah. Really?
Oh yeah, he's done a ton of work, and he also does a lot of theater work. He's done film. I mean, he is a seasoned actor. I mean, that's why I say, like, a lot of times, like, we get a voice actor in where they're in for the day. They're just getting paid. You know, they're getting paid scale for 4 hours. They just kind of come in, they read the words, and they leave. Armin comes in, and he's like so into the character, and like. I mean, you could just tell by listening to Nefarious how tough that is on your throat. So he would get a certain way. We'd be like, all right, you know, we got it. He'd be like, no, I've got just one more in me. I want to try something else. Like, he would purposely shred his voice. And, you know, during breaks, we just see him just, like, downing tea and honey and just trying to get, you know, his throat back to working order. So he really killed himself for this game. And I think I'm forever in his debt because he just did such a phenomenal job. Like, Nefarious is such a fun part of this game.
So just one thing. You know, you talk a lot about working with the voice actors. Like, can you talk a little bit more about the process of how we find these people and, like, how do we pick certain people for certain roles? I mean, obviously, we have the recurring characters, but... there's new people in the game, as new characters as well. So how does that process go about?
Well, basically, I mean, that's just like, you know, we start off with me and Brian Allgaier just creating the characters, of course. And we say, okay, what are the new characters? What are the types of voices we're kind of looking for? And we'll create a character breakdown and send it out to agents. And their agents will just kind of, you know, have all their people kind of, all their actors audition for and send us in a whole bunch of files and listen to it. Now, on the other side of it, there are some parts that we write. Like when there was the War Grok and when there was the Agorian General, we knew that we needed these big gruff voices. So of course, I thought Fred Tatasciore, who's come in and do a whole bunch of voices for us, and he also does like all the monsters in Gears of War, and he did the Hulk in the Edward Norton Hulk movie. He does a lot of that kind of stuff. So sometimes when we write a part, like, we just know who it's going to be. We're like, oh, this is Steve Blum. This is going to be Fred Tatasciore. This is Nolan North, who's in everything. I think we're contractually obligated to have Nolan North play one part in every video game. So that's pretty much the process.
Cool.
I mean, when you look at kind of those four principal actors, really, when you have James Arnold Taylor as Ratchet, who's very well known, and if you don't know him anything else, you should know him because he did Final Fantasy X with Tidus, and then he also is Obi-Wan on the Clone Wars, which I think has made him a lot more known to people out there.
Oh, yeah, he's also Fred Flintstone. He plays the Fallen in the Transformers video game. He was Leonardo in TMNT. Does a lot of work.
Yep. And then you've got David Kaye, who does a lot of work and has played Clank since the very beginning. And then you combine that with Jim Ward and Armin Shimerman. You really have these four, you know, they aren't names everyone knows, but you probably have heard them and you don't realize it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You definitely know their work. But what's cool is, and I said this also at the panel in Comic-Con, is that, like, you know, when I read all these, you know, articles that are kind of giving us coverage for Ratchet and Clank, they always mention that who the cast is, or they a lot of times they mention the cast. This is, oh, Jim Ward's coming back as Quark, James Arnold Taylor's coming back as Ratchet, and I don't see that for a lot of other video games. So I think that's like a true testament to, like, you know, the characters and the universe and the actors that we have. That I think fans would probably revolt if we switched James Arnold Taylor to another actor. Of course, I would never say that to his agent.
But hope they're not listening.
I know, right? But people love the voices, and that's just not something typical that you see in a video game. So I think that's really rad.
Good stuff.
Cool.
How many times did you play the game over the last month and a half?
Start to finish.
Yeah,
probably about 15.
Not bad. It's a long game.
Yeah.
Takes a couple days to get through it.
Yeah, but I do debug all weapons, so I cheat a little bit. Because I'm testing for audio, not for other stuff, so I just need to get through the game. But yeah.
Boom, one-hit kills. Boom, infinite ammo. Yep. Boom, invincible. Go.
Yeah, I cheat.
Oh, I missed that jump? Debug, can't write character.
Hey, I say that I'm just testing the audio. That's how I rationalize it.
Uh-huh. You just wait till we're in Europe for 2 weeks, and I hand you the controller. You're like, here, playing from these people.
Oh, that's right. That's a whole new thing. Yeah, we're going to Europe.
That's right. TJ and I are going to be on a European world tour. Well, half world, half Europe. I don't know.
Sounds so romantic.
Let me just say European vacation. It does sound like a really bad TV show, does it? It's like one guy from the cornfields of Nebraska, another from the stinkiest part of New Jersey, having wild and crazy adventures in Europe.
An erotic journey to Minsk.
Did you just call Rochelle, it an erotic Rochelle. Journey?
Sorry.
I felt a nice cipher.
It does sound like a really bad TV show, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it because I've never been anywhere. I've been to the Bahamas on the Insomniac cruise, and I'm told I spent spring break in Cancun, but I can't really be sure. So this is the first time actually going out to to a whole bunch of other countries.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun time. Though you're gonna like basically see the countries from a train and a taxi and a hotel room and maybe dinner.
Well, it'll be a sampler platter is what I tell folks. Yeah, so I know where to go back for the next vacation. Right. I know this isn't really a vacation, but to me, since I've never been anywhere, I like to at least think that we'll get to explore a little bit.
Yeah.
I like to think James will get sauced in Germany, you know, dressed up as a beer maiden, vomit all over his dirndl, you know. Which reminds me, and this is not to shamelessly plug, but if you are savvy enough to find my Twitter page, I intend to be posting pictures from the event, like every step of the way, because I've never been there, so I'm just going to be taking pictures left and right.
Nice. We're gonna be having a good time, I think.
So why don't you say what your Twitter is?
It's TJ Fixman. It's not very difficult.
You have more followers now.
Hey. Maybe I'll up to 26 now. 26 or 27, maybe.
Nice.
But no, but like I've never been anywhere. So of course, like as soon as I found out I was going, I bought like the little flip cam video camera, and I got of course I got my iPhone now. So because I had to join the herd, I definitely plan on taking pictures everywhere we go.
Cool.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fun trip. Me and TJ on the road for 2 weeks.
You say that like that's going to be a bad thing. I'm time. A lot of fun, man.
I know. We're going to have a blast. That's not a bad thing. I think I just, you know, I'm warning the State Department in advance of potential international incidents.
But you guys are traveling together and doing these events. Yes. So it's not like you're on separate separate routes.
No,
he gets to hang out with me for like 2 weeks straight.
You're not sticking TJ in the Eastern block or anything. Like you guys are doing the whole thing.
There's a 20% chance I'll end up there. But the rest of it is just going to be me, like, because I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to be kind of hanging on to James's jacket, just following him.
I actually already bought a little kitty leash for him around his wrist. So I just kind of like drag him along with me.
You don't have to tell them about the kitty leash.
Like the Wardrock. You're going to be, you know.
Exactly. I'll be Snowball, is that what you're saying?
Snowball! Lots of fun. So you saw, let's see, we had the Nefarious trailer hit this past week. We have the European tour, so all of our friends in Europe will hopefully be seeing some new coverage coming up.
The PAX video podcast just came out. It was late, sorry everybody, but like lots
Paul
of other people.
Had death flu.
I came down with the PAX death flu and was out for about half a week. Plus, there's a lot of marketing stuff that we're doing right now, so podcast was a little late. Apologize, but
now Paul's doing lots of cool video content that you'll be seeing. I think there's going to be G4's coming tomorrow to do some cool stuff that we're doing, like a whole week of Ratchet. So Adam and Morgan are going to be here.
We should just set them up a conference room because they're here so often. Just set up a little.
Give them a little office.
Yeah.
They could set up their own little studio here.
Well, that's the benefit of being right down the road.
Yeah, it's just a quick drive up for those guys. So.
Love them.
They'll be here, and I think Adam's been playing the game a bit, so he'll have some good questions. What else do we got? We've got I think we're doing some stuff with Game Informer's new site launch. We're going to have a new video for them about replay mode that Paul's putting together right now. So that'll be your first chance to maybe see a glimpse of the Insomniac Museum.
They're keeping you busy, huh, Paul?
Oh, yeah. Paul's got
a ton of work over the next month.
And I think you're also going to get your first glimpse at the how-to weapon videos, which are something really cool project that we haven't really – I guess we can talk about it a little bit because we're going to
be showing. And that was another thing that came online pretty late.
That came very late. And it's funny. It's like I think there's 12 videos – and I had to write them all in one day because when we found out about it, we were like so close to our localization deadline. We had to get it like recorded within a day so we could send it overseas. So there's like 12 how-to videos that teach you, you know, kind of how to use the weapons and what makes them strategic. And I wrote them and we recorded them in the span of 2 days.
And you should see your first taste of that this Friday.
Yeah,
so this is coming out.
Yeah, it should be hopefully Friday. I think we're sending that over to MTV Multiplayer. So.
Oh, cool. Those ended up really being like fantastic. It definitely adds to the whole Grumblenet vibe. It's cool.
Yeah, it's they're very kind of kitschy, like cute.
Yeah, they got the 50s PSA vibe to them. Mm-hmm.
So these are cute little animated videos for each weapon. The first time you go to a weapons vendor. And you buy a new weapon, or if you want to preview a weapon, it'll play this little like 30-second video with a little cute animated ratchet and some little cute animated enemies that die cute animated ways. It's good times.
Yeah, they turned out really nicely. Like I remember when they first finally all went in, I was just like looking forward to each weapon because I was like, oh, I can't wait to see the next little weapon video.
Yeah, they turned out very well.
So that will be coming up, and I think that G4, we're going to show a new level for them. I think we're going to do some stuff with GameSpot. So there's a lot of coverage that'll be hitting in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And within about 3 weeks or so, we'll start having reviews hitting. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, about a week before the game comes out. I mean, we're less than a month away now. We're 27 days away right now, so 4 weeks away from this game being on shelves in the U.S.
It's getting down to it. But so far, the stuff that I've been seeing online for and the remarks that we've been getting back have been overwhelmingly positive. So,
yeah, I have gotten some quotes because there will be, I think, the very first review that may hit in full will probably be in the U.K., because there's a magazine that was doing a cover story on it. And I saw some quotes from that were really, really strong.
Cool.
So, you know, that will be... I haven't seen any scores from anybody.
21 out of 20.
Not Uncharted. Yeah. You know, Uncharted's gotten some incredible
reviews. Congrats to them.
I still haven't picked
A+ on 1UP, 100% on Eurogamer. Like, congrats. Just downloaded the multiplayer demo yesterday.
I don't have time. I'm still trying to finish Batman.
I'm still trying to finish the first Uncharted. I'm that far behind, but I finished Batman, and that was amazing.
Yeah, I've been traveling so much that I just have not had time. I've been trying to get up like and play early in the morning before I come into work right now just to get through it, because I haven't even popped in ODST yet, and that's sitting there taunting me too. But I just got through Ivy, so I think I'm close. I'm very close to the end, but I'm just like, God, I got to finish this game so I can play.
Yeah, you're getting there.
It's incredible. I'm just through the first Scarecrow events, but you know, I got... It's been busy times for us, you know.
Yeah,
I haven't been able to play games. This last week, I was able to tear myself away. I played through ODST, picked up Need for Speed Shift. I've been playing that, and it's awesome.
Brian shaking his head.
It's surprisingly great.
It's funny. I just was mentioning, I was introducing Paul to a bunch of people on the forums today, and I literally said he's a hardcore gamer. He plays everything.
Play everything.
No, I mean, he can't beat me in NHL, but... I mean, you can't beat me in NHL yet, but hey.
Played the new Left 4 Dead maps last night.
Oh, nice.
Good times.
I think we got to give you more work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, Brian, you and I still not play college football. We need to get that going these days over lunch.
True.
So, you know, though, I don't know what you've been holding back, but my favorite thing right now has been all these portable games I've been stocking up on for this trip we're taking, because I know that we're going to be flying like every single day for 2 weeks.
Right.
And that I am going to need... as much portable gaming goodness as possible. So,
you're going to get a go. I put a dollar on it right now.
I think so, because I think I need it to take care of it, and I'm kind of like, ooh, I could play, I could put some digital stuff on there. Like, I still have a code for Patapon 2, which I'm like, kind of glad I never used. I'm like, oh, I could download that for it. There's some good stuff. But like Mario and Luigi, that just came out.
Kingdom Hearts 358 divided by 2 days. Or
what is up with that name?
I just got that too, though, so those are both sitting there. I still am on the second Professor Layton. I still have Scribblenaut, so I've got like 5 or 6 DS games.
I think I'm just going to end up borrowing off you then. Yeah. I mean, with my links, I've got like Gates of Zendikon, Electro Cop, and California Games. That's pretty much probably where I'm going out there.
You know, I'll bring my Game Gear for you. It'll be a bit of an upgrade.
There you go. You only have the TurboGrafx-16 one, remember? But no, I do have a PSP, and I do have a Secret Agent Clank, which I've been meeting to go through, so I'll probably play that in a couple.
You know, I love your quirk scenes, but I think they may have the all-time best quirk scene in that game.
Don't make me cut you.
The quirk opera house scene is still one of the funniest things.
James, we better edit that line out. I'm not even messing around with you.
Ouch.
How could you say such a thing? Oh, my God.
He just tore his heart out, stomped on it, took a crap on it.
What is better than Quirk singing opera about killing
poop ferrets? You know
something, sir?
There's a line, and you crossed it.
What is it? What is it?
You know, Christopher Nolan, you did a great job with Batman Begins, Dark Knight, but you know, the line in Batman and Robin, Batcave Express card, don't leave home without it, or, you know, still his best work.
It's a shining moment of Quirk. Like,
James...
It's almost like you had written it. It's that good.
James.
That's okay. You have the best consistent, funny quirk of anyone.
Don't try to cover it up. Massage.
All right. God. I'll have you know, sir, that people happen to love the quark stuff I've written.
I love the quark stuff you've written. I'm just saying that like quark singing opera.
Put the chair down.
I know. Just dig it a little deeper. I've heard about the opera. I haven't seen it yet, but like I said, I've been meaning to give the whole thing a pass. So that'll be
you got to play it. It's good stuff. So especially
we're still gonna have words later, but
and there's a Ratchet shower scene too.
What?
Yeah, there's a prison shower sequence where Ratchet's fighting in a prison shower.
I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, like even they drop their towels, they got the little sensor bar going on.
It's Ratchet and Clank meets Eastern Promises minus the tattoos. It's good times.
Sure, there are furry fans out there will love it.
Oh yeah, Ratchet in a shower towel and basically like an arena.
This is going towards a really awkward area of conversation.
Let's talk about Cronenberg for a minute. No, okay.
So maybe we've got like 15 minutes before we have to go to lunch here for Brian, but we do have I think some fan questions that Brian pulled off the forums for TJ before I segue too much into hot Ratchet shower action.
Fantastic. Yes, let's
please. We'll need to talk to Brian a little bit to.
I know. We'll segue at the end. That'll be how we'll wrap things.
I mean, we've talked a lot about some of these questions already, but we'll just kind of go through them. Billy Jean writes, did you have to write the story in script format or as a novel?
It's mostly script format. Like we start off, of course, with outlines. We're just kind of written with a broad overview of what the story is going to be from start to finish, and then we break it up into levels. Basically, myself and Brian Allgaier, and we have a script format for all the cinematics that you see, the real times and the full motion videos, and then the level stuff is done typically in Microsoft Excel.
SREX writes, how many line sentences, words, letters, commas, semicolons, hyphens, exclamation marks, question marks, and apostrophes does this manuscript include?
It's a very specific question, isn't it? I can't say how many commas and semicolons and hyphens are in there, but I did ask Brian Bernal to do like a quick search of our localization database. It says that we've got 5,000 lines of in-game dialogue, but that's less, that doesn't count space radio, which I want to say is a couple hundred. Probably 200 or 300, and then on top of that we have the how-to videos which were not included. So I mean, and the cut dialogue, because I write a lot of dialogue that ends up being cut from the game. So I would say all in all I write about 10,000 lines of dialogue. Per project.
What was your favorite piece of dialogue that got cut?
That's actually one of the someone actually asked that question.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not on here, but it's a good question. Answer it.
It was probably there was a sequence where and I know where you're going for it too, because I remember he keeps bringing up the Crushto line that was cut from RCF, which never even made it to the recording stage, I don't think. Oh no, it did get recorded.
It got recorded. Sure, I heard it at one point.
And then we cut it because it was just.
Because it would have taken our rating up.
Oh my God, yes! I don't even know what I was thinking putting that.
There's not ratings on podcasts, are there?
No, I think you can. I think you could say it here.
You want me to say what the line was?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Oh boy, this is so awful. But and apologies in advance for this, because again, like sometimes you write a line and you forget your audience. And there was a character called Crushto, who was a giant fish that would chew you up and then spit you out.
This is in the arena.
This was in the arena,
RCF1.
Right?
RCF1.
And I wrote a line where if he chewed you up and then spit you out, Quark as an announcer would say, "Looks like someone's been taking lessons from Mrs. Crushto." So really. And again, I'm so sorry, especially if my parents are listening to this podcast. I apologize. I mean nothing by it. But just again, so I don't know where my head was that day that I wrote that line. But anyways, moving past that, we have an abbreviated segment where Ratchet is rescuing Quark. And Quark is complaining about the what they're serving him on aboard Vorslon's ship, and we had to trim it down, of course, because the scene was just too long. And I don't remember the specific line, but it was basically like Quark whining like a girl, and Ratchet just kind of like yelling at him to man up, essentially. And it was a funny segment, and we ended up having to trim it down, but it's still funny as written. It's still Quark being Quark.
Cool. Let's see.
God, I can't believe I said that line.
That's fantastic. I don't know.
I wanted to let that line die into the ether. It's so embarrassing.
Top Pot wants to know, do you write fan fiction for another series in your spare time?
I like to write a lot of Hardy Boy novels. No, I don't have time really to write fan fiction.
Well, you do new stuff outside work.
Oh, absolutely. Like Insomniac's been great because they know at the end of the day I'm coming back to the office, but I do write. You know, I've got a couple things going on with a couple film companies around town, and you know, I wrote a pilot for a cartoon that people seem to enjoy, so I might sell that off as a series and let somebody else work on it. And I think with any writer, regardless of what medium you work in, everyone wants to see their work on the screen. So I think Insomniac is really understanding about that, and they know that I love my job. I love being a game writer, and I certainly have no intentions of leaving Insomniac anytime soon. So when I tell them, hey, I've got this project and I want to meet with some people across town about it, is that cool? They're like, yeah, go ahead.
Ratchet Blaster wants to know, how challenging was it for you to write a more mature plot and make the character's background deeper, all this being built around a trilogy, since the first games on PS2 had no real scenaristic connections and a lighter story?
I bet there were red squiggly lines under the word scenaristic. it was definitely challenging. I mean, what he's saying is exactly right, or her. The games on the PS2 were a lot lighter, and they almost felt kind of episodic, and they were really there to get the gameplay going. I think for the time that it was appropriate for what we were trying to do, but now we wanted to do something a little bit deeper. So the challenge is that people have their expectations about what they think Ratchet's past should be, who Alistair Asmus should be, what's the overall arc for these characters. And it's something that we take very, very seriously. Like when me and Brian set out to write the story, we knew we wanted to make like an epic fairy tale vibe. We knew we wanted it to be not just another evil ruler trying to take over the universe. We wanted there to be something more, hence the creation of the Great Clock. That's something I came up with as a force that was, you know, people were trying to gain control over, and that in itself was the bigger part of the story than nefarious could be. So it was a challenge, but looking at it all put together, I think that it was pulled off beautifully. Like I said, the animators, they totally went to bat, and they put together some beautiful scenes that really give you like a sense of depth and sense of like who these characters are, and even like in the performances like of Alistair Asmus, you'll really get a strong sense of like who the Lombaxes were.
Cool.
I think you guys did just an incredible job of balancing the humor and the action and the drama. Like it's never a jerky transition. Like everything flows really well in this game, and I think people are going to be really psyched to finally see the whole thing play out, and besides like the little snippets that they've seen in trailers and such.
Very cool, thanks. Yeah, we're definitely excited now that everything's in there and playing. Like, you know, for a while we don't know, because after it leaves script form, it gets broken up and starts being worked on in different sections, and now seeing it all put together, like I think people are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, seeing all the cinematics and stuff separately, I was never able to see like the real-time in-game cinematics or how the different cinematics coupled with the gameplay, and now actually finally being able to play through the whole game and seeing how everything ties together, it just works perfectly.
Cool, thanks, man.
I think we've done a good time, too, of keeping the story under wraps for a lot. I mean, we've mostly pulled stuff from the first and second acts of the game. We've kind of tried to leave the third act as untouched as possible. We've seen a little bit of it, but not much.
I've seen you policing that a lot, so thank you for that.
Yes, it's more like we want to tease, we want people to kind of understand what's going on, but we definitely want... You know, like, you can see parts of the backbone, but you can't see the whole backbone, so you can't kind of see where things are going. And we want to tease where things are going with the story, and we've teased, you know, Ratchet and Clank. They're learning their destinies lie on different paths, and their origins have taken them in that direction, so they have to kind of decide what the end result will be, and you'll get to play it out. And I think that's going to be really rewarding, because we've really struggled in the past. I think the fact that we didn't really show the game until E3 this year has allowed us to pace things out better in what we've shown.
Oh, absolutely.
And we're still going to show more of this. Like, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see... I mean, over this month, you'll have seen 3 or 4 levels you haven't really seen before. Like, you saw Axiom. You'll see you saw Malenoth the other day. And you're going to see a couple more levels in the next couple of weeks. But we're still going to leave that last act of the game really untouched. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you've seen a little glimpse of it in the Nefarious trailer, and that's it. So you'll get to see this you'll see the last trailer, and you'll see all this, and you know, you'll get there at the end and hopefully be very surprised and see levels you haven't seen before, and weapons you haven't seen before, and you know, boss fights and things like that. So it'll be
absolutely great. Yeah, all the payoff moments we've we've done a great job of keeping under wraps. I should say you've done a great you guys have done a great job of keeping under wraps, because people, like, you know, people do want to show our huge moments in the game, but we do want to reserve those for the players that actually, you know, play through the game so that they feel that sense of reward. So
yeah, and while we've shown a lot of different things, we tried to also be very slice. Well, like, you've seen Zolar, for instance, you've only seen a slice of it, or you've seen Vorsalon ship, you've only seen a slice of it.
Right.
So it's like these different sequences in the game you've only seen little cuts of, and so when you actually play it, there's a lot of it still left. Like, you've seen, you know, there's several space sectors, you've seen a lot of one of them, so you still have several other space sectors you haven't explored, you haven't really heard space radio, you haven't done seen really the side quests. So there's all these things that, while we've shown you bits and pieces of a lot of the game, you haven't seen most of it, so it'll be a very fresh experience, I hope, for players.
And I will say this, like, we've been pretty good, like, we've shown a lot of the Great Clock, but we haven't shown the Great Clock yet, and the artists put so much of their hearts into that level. I will probably go out and say that that's the best looking level that we've ever created.
Yeah,
I think that just looks so amazing.
Yeah, and fortunately we've only shown there's still like a good basically two Clank levels people haven't seen, where you're going to be playing through Great Clock sections as Clank. So there's, you know, you've seen kind of the opening one a little bit where he's being chased, and you've seen kind of the, you'll get to play the second one where you're learning the time abilities and things like that. We haven't really seen the next two that happen later. So there's still a lot of Clank you haven't seen. There's a lot of space. There's a lot of Ratchet. And honestly, if you're sensitive to spoilers and you know you're going to buy the game, like I do, I just shut myself off and don't look at it anymore, because you know you're going to get it. It's coming out in a month. Maybe a little bit longer if you're in Europe or Japan. But it's coming out. You know, pre-order it.
I put myself on media blackout for Brutal Legend, so.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, sometimes that's the best course of action if you know you really want to see something. It's just like, I'm not watching any of Avatar.
But like you said, like we've gone to great lengths really to make sure that people won't get a full idea of the game until they get it. And yeah, like, I'm pretty happy that we kept Space Radio under wraps, because that was a lot of hard work that that myself, Chris Colander, and a lot of the audio guys did that is a really cool feature of the game.
Yeah, and it's not something people really, I mean, you don't want people to, I mean, since it's such like an experience, we don't want people to hear too much of that early. Like, you're going to hear that plenty when you're actually playing the game and exploring all the moons, so you don't need to hear it now. You need to know it's there. You need to hear like one commercial or something, and then be like, okay, I understand what this is, and it's going to be really cool to listen to when I'm flying around. So I guess that kind of wraps up our questions for TJ from the community. Yep. Thanks, everybody. So let's talk about some other stuff happening with the community as we kind of wrap up here. I don't know. Brian.
What?
Nothing. Brian's leaving our little team, I guess.
Yeah.
Did he get fired already? I thought he'd last longer.
I know.
Apparently I didn't cut the...
You didn't cut the mustard.
Nope. I've got a opportunity to join the project management team here at Insomniac, and it's something I'm really excited about. I'm actually going to be working a lot with TJ.
We have wooed him to the production side.
I mean, you know, all jobs have good and bad things, you know. Whatever. Got to work with TJ, so...
Got to order TJ dinner.
I thought we had, like, an off-air agreement to be nice to each other.
We did, but, you know, I figured that was too easy to pass up.
Sorry,
but
I just made a joke about you getting fired, so...
So, no, it's an awesome opportunity. I'm unbelievably excited to get working on it, and that means I won't be on the forums as much as I usually am, or on the podcast, but you'll still hear from me. But I have an awesome replacement, and he's sitting right next to me, so...
I'm also glad that... Brian is moving to another position. That means his old position was open.
Yeah.
And I've been working with these guys for a while. Year and a half,
yeah.
Possibly, with the community team. Ryan, yeah. James, and
yeah,
Brian. Me and Brian actually started
the same
on
day.
The community team on the same day.
Yeah, so it has been a year and a half.
And, I mean, Paul was here before that, but, you know,
I did,
officially.
Yeah, I did QA here for a year on Resistance 1 multiplayer for a year, and then they started doing video content, asking around if anyone knew how to do video stuff, and I raised my hand. I could do that, and I did some tests for them. They liked it, so I started doing video content, and now I'm going to be doing other stuff.
Well, he's basically doing his old job plus new stuff.
But we have another video person coming in who is our intern during the summer, Calvin Wong, who did the absolutely amazing 1812 overture weapons video that we released at PAX. He is going to be coming in and doing video stuff with us, and super excited about that.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
So he's going to be full time, huh?
Yeah, so
that's cool. He did good work.
Well, Paul will still be doing video stuff. He'll also be doing other things, and then Calvin will be picking up some of that video slack and adding more. So we'll have even more capacity for videos going forward, which will be good.
Indeed, there's plenty of room for more video content, and so, you'll be seeing more.
So then what's your title? What's the full title?
Well, the new one is
Mr. I don't know. I don't even know what your new title is.
Community. I'm not sure.
I like that.
Captain Community.
You can put that on a business card.
You actually can.
Yeah, really.
Mine says Senior Writer Mayor of Awesome Town.
What was your first one that the printers like auto-corrected and messed up for you?
I put Master of the Written Word, and I spelt word W-E-R-D, and they corrected it when they printed up the business card.
Thanks for ruining the joke.
I know. Yeah.
Good time. So this has come together to be a pretty nice little episode, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was a great. Actually, as we were going, I was like, man, it's pretty good stuff.
A little bittersweet for you, though, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be on once in a while, but just not a regular anymore. So,
and I just want to take a quick moment and pour out a little bit of hot tea for our boy Garnett Lee, who's leaving one up to go to Shaq News.
Is that now, I don't know if John's still gonna be doing it, but is that now the full complete end of the original four?
I don't know. I mean, it depends. I don't know if they're gonna stick around. Yeah, I don't. I mean, it just that news just broke what a couple days ago, so I think
yesterday,
they're all still figuring that stuff out.
Yesterday morning.
So I'll try to keep the devil's advocacy alive in podcast form. On the IG side.
Cool.
Yes. All right. Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. And we will be back with something around the time the game is coming out. Probably a video show or reflection on the development of the game. We're thinking. We haven't really decided yet.
Will this be after the Europe trip?
Yeah.
So if you survive...
Yeah, I don't even know if I'll be here when we shoot it. I guess it depends on when we're going to be gone for 2 full weeks. So I'm going to basically transition everything off and not, because who knows how much internet access and time we'll have. So I won't be running day-to-day stuff while I'm out. But
I vote for a running video diary on TJ's new flip camera.
Well, I'll do it.
To be edited into hilarious, little video bits upon their return.
That could actually be pretty fun.
Yeah, Go for it.
That might be good. We could track all the various delicious.
Look, he's had the job for 5 seconds. He's already coming up with great ideas.
Oh my God.
Done. Well done.
Yeah, but I bought the video camera, so I'm excited. No, I'm kidding.
Right off.
I know, right? I like that idea. Let's do it.
Indeed.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back in a few weeks. Keep an eye on our Twitter and Facebook pages and Delicious and all those other places. Twitter is InsomniacGames.com Insomniac Games on Twitter. Facebook, you can search for Ratchet & Clank.
And Insomniac Games.
And you can also go to Insomniac's website or our forums. We try and keep you updated. You can follow TJ. Was it TJ Fixman?
TJ Fixman, yeah.
Yeah, I'm James Stevenson on Twitter. You can follow any of us. We generally post stuff that's of interest.
I don't tweet.
Yeah, no.
I will get a picture of you vomiting onto a curb somewhere in Germany. I promise the listeners, if it's there, I'll get it.
Okay. Hopefully, there's no vomiting. But
if it's not there, I will Photoshop it.
So follow us there, and that will keep you up to date with all the cool stuff we're releasing. And, TJ, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Paul?
Get used to it.
Congratulations, Paul.
Yeah,
bud. Oh, thank you so much.
Good first episode.
I know what I'm in for.
Lots of
good
times.
You're already seasoned pro. It was good.
All right. I'll take that.
Mr. Intihar, it's been a pleasure.
Same here.
We will have you on.
Oh, yeah.
When your schedule allows.
Yep.
And...
thanks for quitting.
When you get to this point, you have to play Taps in the background.
All right, guys. This is James Stevenson, and we are signing off from the Full Moon Show, episode number 44. We'll be back with you in a few weeks. And remember, October 27th, if you haven't pre-ordered the game, go pre-order it, please. Support your local independent game developer. Pre-order the game.
Please.
Please pre-order it for us, please. All right, we're out. Bye.